Pope Benedict on Sunday said he was deeply sorry for the reactions by Muslims to parts of a lecture he gave at Regensburg University in Bavaria during the six-day visit to his homeland last week. In a lengthy lecture to professors and students, the Pope quoted from a medieval text which refers to criticism of the Prophet Muhammad by a 14th century Byzantine emperor. Addressing pilgrims gathered at his summer residence of Castel Gandolfo at midday on Sunday, the Pope said the quotations do not in any way express his personal thought, adding that the true meaning of his address was and is an invitation to frank and sincere dialogue with great mutual respect. My colleague Charles Collins takes a closer look at what the Pope had to say.
In questo momento desidero solo aggiungere che sono vivamente rammaricato.
At his Sunday Angelus, Pope Benedict said he was deeply sorry for the reactions in some countries to a few passages of his address at the University of Regensburg last week, which were considered offensive to the sensibilities of Muslims. Speaking at the papal summer residence in Castel Gandolfo, the Holy Father said the passages were, in fact, a quotation from a medieval text, which do not in any way express his personal thought. He pointed to the statement published on Saturday by the Cardinal Secretary of State, in which he explained the true meaning of the Pope's words.
Spero che questo valga a placare gli animi.
The Holy Father said that he hopes this serves to appease hearts and to clarify the true meaning of his address, which he said in its totality was and is an invitation to frank and sincere dialogue with great mutual respect. There have been several protests in Muslim countries since the address in Regensburg, which was meant as an academic lecture. After his comments on the Regensburg address, the Pope turned to two liturgical feasts from the week, the Triumph of the Cross and Our Lady of Sorrows. He pointed out that these two liturgical celebrations summarize the traditional image of the crucifixion, with the Virgin Mary at the foot of the cross with the evangelist John, the only apostle to stay with Jesus at the time of his death.
Ma adesso che senso ha esaltare la croce?
The Holy Father asked, in what sense do we exalt the cross, asking if it is not scandalous to venerate an infamous device of execution. The Pope then reminded the crowd of the words of St. Paul to the Corinthians, "We preach Christ crucified, scandal for the Jews, folly for the Gentiles."
I cristiani però non esaltano una qualsiasi croce.
The Holy Father said Christians do not exalt any cross, but the cross sanctified by the sacrifice of Jesus. He said that Christ on the cross poured his blood to free humanity from the slavery of sin and death. Therefore, the cross changes from a symbol of a curse to a symbol of blessing, from a symbol of death to a symbol of immortal life. After reciting the Angelus, the Holy Father spoke briefly in English.
May you stay here in Castel Gandolfo in Rome, be a time of spiritual enrichment, marked by the readiness to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Upon you and your loved ones, I invoke the grace and peace of Christ the Lord.
Pope Benedict also said he would speak more about his trip to Bavaria during his weekly general audience on Wednesday. I'm Charles Collins.
Benedict's words came one day after his new Secretary of State, Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, also issued a statement underlining the Holy See's unequivocal commitment to interreligious and intercultural dialogue. That statement quotes from the Pope's own words to Muslim leaders in Cologne, Germany last year, when he stressed that Christian-Muslim dialogue cannot be reduced to an optional extra. The lessons of the past, he said, must help us to avoid repeating the same mistakes. We must seek paths of reconciliation and learn to live with respect for each other's identity. Well, one of the Church's leading experts on dialogue with the Islamic world is the director of the Pontifical Institute for Arabic and Islamic Studies here in Rome, Father Justo Lacunza. He talked to my colleague Lydia O'Kane about the Pope's words in Bavaria last week and the reactions from Muslims, which he sees as an opportunity for greater openness and understanding on both sides.
I think the Pope's intention was a twofold intention. First, to link together the exercise of the reason and the word with the faith and the search for the divine. And secondly, he was trying to put across a very simple idea that any form of evil, of conflict, of war, of violence, it's against nature, it's against the very humanity of the human person, it's against faith. And no act of violence can have as a foundation religion or faith. And obviously in that context, the Pope, I think he has touched, if you like, and has opened doors and windows towards the real problems in today's world, particularly when religion is being used as a base for violent actions or for war.
Now, the Pope did stress during the speech that they weren't his own words, that he was quoting the Emperor Manuel II, didn't he?
Yes. Well, he referred to a historical event of a meeting between Manuel II, called the Palaeologus, and a very prominent Persian scholar, on the question of violence and the question of war. And the emperor referred to that verse in the Quran 2:256, which reads that there is no constraint in matters of religion. And then the emperor, of course, asked this Persian scholar, how is it possible? You try to, you know, to tell me, to explain to me, because I see different actions that have to do, you know, with violence and then based particularly on religion. And the Pope refers to that. And then the Pope sort of continues in his speech, and he makes this very, very powerful statement in which he says that you cannot put religion as the base of violence. In other words, if you commit a violent action, if you engage in conflict, in war against others, no matter who they are, you cannot say, I'm doing this in the name of God, because this is against the harmony of humanity. This is against faith itself. This is against religion. This is against God himself. And it is in that sense that the Pope touches a very, very sensitive issue in today's world. And I can understand, if you like, reactions from the Islamic world, and every time the question of conflict, the question of jihad, the question of war, the question of violence is being touched, then the reactions can be sort of very varied. But I will say one thing is that, for me, the Pope has sort of become the spokesman, if you like, for millions and millions of people around the world, including Muslims, who are telling you, and who how often have told me, scholars and simple Muslim people, as well, you know, we are not violent people. We do not want to link violence to Islam. We want to be Muslims. We want to be faithful Muslims. We want to continue building our own lives as the others. And in that sense, I think the Pope has not at all do that against Islam or against Muslims. On the contrary, he has a sort of caught the sensibilities of millions of Muslims and indirectly has told them, I said, look, I'm with you. You know, don't link violence with religion, and because the faith must illumine your path. The faith must illumine the path of every single believer and every single human being. And it is in this sense that the Pope is sort of, it's open to dialogue with other religions, to civilizations, and to cultures, precisely because we can reason about this, we can ask questions, we can use the words, And we can debate, we can discuss. Okay, if you do such an action, tell me why you do. We don't need, I think, to take up arms and put up a fight because we have different views and we have different opinions and we have different perceptions of faith and we have different visions. But there is one fundamental thing which lies at the very basis of everything, that religion and violence cannot be linked. We cannot say that we engage in violence or in war because it is religion which allows us to do so.
Finally, Father Lacunza, do you think that the Muslim community will come to see what the Pope was trying to get at?
Well, I think there are two important things to do. First, one has to understand the Pope's words and the Pope's speech. And I think we cannot extrapolate and take just simply a single thing. And they say, this is what the Pope said. And this is very, very striking. Even, I think, some media sort of have the reference of the Pope to a historical event has been taken, if you like, as if the Pope said, well, these are my words. And I think one needs to be extremely careful in order to understand exactly what the Pope has said. And secondly, I think the Islamic world, and I think scholars and Muslims who live in the midst of other religions and other cultures and other civilizations, will discuss, and we can argue, we can talk, we can debate. We can say that this world, it is not the propriety of anybody. It's, we all belong to this world, and whatever happens in this world, in matters of religions, in matters of economy, in matters of conflicts and wars, in matters of faith, in matters of religion, that's our concern. And we do have, quite a number of problems regarding violence and regarding conflicts in the world. Well, you know, perhaps it is an occasion to discuss and debate, but I'm not surprised of the reactions. I think the reactions are always very healthy and very sound, although at times and very often they are painful and they hurt. They do not hurt my sensibilities personally, but I can understand that these reactions would hurt the sensibilities of a lot of people. I think it's an occasion for greater improvement in our openness, if you like, to the others, in our openness to other people's expectations, faiths and cultures. It is a tremendous occasion also for the Church to renew itself and to say, you know, let us not have any thought of evil in our hearts, because evil and violence cannot be have religion or text as a base for action.
Father Justo Lacunza, director of the Pontifical Institute for Arabic and Islamic Studies here in Rome. That call for openness and understanding at this difficult time has been echoed by Catholic leaders in other countries, many of whom have been working hard to improve relations with Muslim communities since the Second Vatican Council officially expressed the Church's esteem for followers of Islam over four decades ago. British Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor on Sunday stood alongside Muslim and Jewish leaders praying for peace in war-torn Darfur. This practical sign of interfaith solidarity came one day after the Cardinal issued a statement to be read in all Catholic parishes in his Diocese of Westminster.
Well, it was a very short message, but really saying to all the Catholic people in the diocese that Pope Benedict, in his lecture, was essentially appealing for a dialogue of cultures which was based on faith and on reason. And it was quite clear to me that Pope Benedict had no intention of offending in any way the sensibilities of the Muslim community. And the Holy Father himself has expressed his sorrow if any passage in his speech sounded offensive to Muslim believers. I mean, what was clear to me was that his lecture is a radical rejection of any religious motivation for violence. That seemed to me to be an extraordinarily important thing to say. I then went on to say that if we would continue in our country to develop good relations with the Muslim community based on mutual respect and a common desire for justice and peace in our world. So it was a very short message, but something I thought our people would be happy to hear.
Over recent years there in Britain, you've worked hard, haven't you, to foster good relations with the Muslim community. Have you had any reactions from the Muslim leadership about all this?
Well, as yet, I mean, personally to myself, not very many, except that yesterday when I was standing with some Muslim leadership with regard to the situation in Darfur, there was an expression there of common solidarity and understanding, and I was grateful for that.
Tell us a little bit about this. It was a day of prayer, wasn't it, for the people of Darfur? Can you give us some more details?
Essentially, five Muslim leaders, five Christian leaders, and five Jewish leaders went to Downing Street and read out a prayer each, calling for reconciliation, for peace, and for the intervention of the international community in Darfur. We said that the situation was getting worse and worse, and we didn't want another Rwanda. And so in different ways, we expressed this very firmly. And the British government, in terms of the Tony Blair's representative, Baroness Amos, expressed their acceptance of this and their efforts to do all they could with other countries to alleviate and to stop immediately the terrible fighting, the starvation, the violence in the Sudan and particularly in Darfur.
And my thanks there to Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, head of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales.